The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, we got our bacon. It's episode 185 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Mumble Bay Tuna.
Yum yum, bumblebee tuna. I like bumblebee tuna.
I'm still quoting Ace Ventura when nature calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they spit in each other's faces.
That's weird.
That's how they say hello.
The bukkake.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Dib. I want to meet a culture that says hi with bukkake.
That's Doyle.
Are you sure?
I don't.
I mean. It's not like something I want to happen to me. I just want to be like, I guess that is a thing that exists out there.
I mean, the first time you meet people, that's got to be real awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, just like getting met, not so great. Meeting new people, amazing.
Oh, man. I mean, they still get to meet you.
Start being real and social.
Damn, it's not good there.
So in today's episode, we are going to be talking about 2020's The Gentlemen, the new movie from Guy Ritchie. Basically a return to form for Guy Ritchie.
So good.
And yeah, let's dive in. Who watched this one?
I actually watched The Irishman.
Fucking hell. What the fuck?
What a completely different movie you watched.
I just couldn't remember exactly what it was called, and I was like, it's like the something man.
I made a video of it, bro. You should have just went back.
Did you watch it?
No.
Okay, so Tim and I are the ones that have watched this one.
73% critic, 84% audience.
So basically same rating as Lock and Key.
It's a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you're close.
So, first of all, you guys are all familiar with Guy Ritchie's other movies, right?
Yeah.
So there's clearly like a peak, you know, it's Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Revolver, the fourth. One that I can't remember what it's called up for some reason. Yeah. And then he married Madonna, and then it like kind of all went crazy.
Yeah.
He started just making like weird, random, like romantic comedies, and he did like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes. And,
which
like,
are fun, but
not Guy Ritchie movies, right?
No, not even.
Are
close.
You looking up that other one?
No, but I can.
Okay. So this is definitely a return to those earlier Guy Ritchie movies.
For sure.
It is straight up British gangster movie about marijuana and people dying in horrible ways.
Yes.
And it's fucking awesome. Like, it is so much better than the other shit he's been putting out.
What did you say? It was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke, Snatch, Swept Away, Revolver, Rock and Roller, Sherlock.
Rock and Roller. That's the one I was trying to think of. So...
Yeah, that's
I didn't know he made Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Those are great movies.
They are. And I'm not discounting that.
He makes good shit.
I like the Sherlock Holmes movies, but they aren't like a quote-unquote Guy Ritchie movie. It's like if Quentin Tarantino just made a random like Avengers movie.
I want to see that movie.
I do. Now, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, fucking sold. That's who they should let direct the Daredevil movie, man.
Oh, that'd be good.
Oh, that would be a fucking amazing thing.
Or give him something really dope like Ghost Rider.
Oh, the new Ghost Rider? He would be... Let's, like, talk about that. So this movie revolves around Michael something. What's his... I forget his last name.
Matthew McConaughey's character.
It's Matthew McConaughey's character.
Who is
an American...
Mickey Pearson.
Who came to England to go to college, and he starts growing marijuana in college and selling it, and basically becomes like the largest grower and dealer of marijuana in England.
Yeah.
Okay. And he wants to retire. Okay. So he sets up the sale of his business, and he has a very unique way of like hiding how he grows and hiding how he sells. Okay. Because the way he says it is the problem with this country is that there's no land and there's like all this weird open access to land. So yeah. one thing that I don't know that everybody knows about England is they have these things called right to roam laws, mm-hmm. which say you can't not allow people to like stroll through your property as long as they're not like killing something or like taking stuff off of your property. You can just like wander through somebody's like pasture land. They even have like old stone cabins that you can like camp out in and spend the night in like free of charge, you know? And it's just like it's kind of a weird cultural thing. On top of being like probably the most surveilled human beings on the face of the earth, with the exception of the Chinese.
Yeah.
Like there's more cameras per capita in the United Kingdom than anywhere else.
Wow.
So he has to like develop a way to grow tons and tons of marijuana under the radar. And the way he does it is he basically hires out old lords' manor houses and manor lands. Because those people don't have money anymore. Like, they don't have – they're not capitalists. They're part of, like, an old monarchical system, and they're dukes and duchesses. And so they have titles and land, but past that, they don't really have money. And so, like, a lot of those, like, old guard British guys need to find a way to make cash. And he basically says – I'll pay you $1 million a year if you just don't ask fucking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he like,
I'm in.
Exactly. Sold.
I got a barn in the backyard too, man. It's all yours.
Yeah. So he has like these underground bunkers of like weed and stuff like that.
Especially weed. That's fucking stop me in.
Yeah. Yeah. So what ends Big up happening deal. Is So what ends up happening is a typical Guy Ritchie movie where there's a guy that's an investigative reporter and there's a guy that's the right-hand man of Mickey. And the investigative reporter comes to him and says, you're going to pay me $20 million and this is why. And he backtracks the whole story to the beginning of when this guy wants to retire and he's selling his business and comes all the way to the front where – gangster drug war is about to erupt. Yeah. And like, if you don't pay me $20 million, I'm going to tell the public about the crazy shit your boss has done.
Yeah.
And that ends up backfiring on him horribly.
In the worst way.
Like, and it's like that typical Guy Ritchie spiral where everything is kind of at a stasis. But then one person does something and everything goes
catastrophe
until there's a lot of dead fucking bodies like in freezers and a lot of big talk about murder.
The scene when they're moving the dead body out of the freezer and the reporter catches him and he's like, is there a problem here? He's like, I don't know. Is there a problem here? He's like, no, there's no problem here.
He goes, I don't see a problem. I forgot to wash my hands when clearly you just heard him turn off the sink. And he just turns around, walks back into the bathroom, and they finish transporting a corpse.
Yeah.
And then the boss says,
Aslan,
you know not to talk shit to the people who have clearly already killed somebody.
Yes. But
the boss then says to his cronies, you know, who are moving the corpse, maybe call before you come over next time.
Like, it's still not a big deal.
Or like so there's a scene where they accidentally pitch a guy out of a window.
So super fucking funny though.
He falls like 16 stories.
Oh wow.
And just bloom.
Yeah. Gravity killed him.
Yeah, they didn't kill him. Gravity killed him. So these little thugs who have been like harassing like their chauffeur. They start taking pictures. They're like, holy shit. One kid's even like, corpse selfie. Like, okay. So they start taking pictures. So the boss guy, like the secondary boss guy, comes downstairs and he's like, we need those fucking phones. And of course, these are just little street thugs. So they like disperse to the wind like immediately.
Like rats when the lights come on.
So the boss is chasing. He finally catches the kid and the kid is with like his gang of friends, right? He goes, look, you know, the kid says, he's trying to steal my phone. He's like, I'm not trying to steal your phone. I want to buy your phone. And the kid goes, oh, yeah, how much? And he pulls out like a stack of cash.
Yeah, it's like 10 grand.
He's like, I will give you this. You give me the phone. We don't need to confront each other or talk to each other ever again. He's all, well, you know, I got my whole crew here, so maybe we just like kill you and I take the money.
Usually ends badly for the other people.
So his friend comes by, pulls out a fucking machete out of nowhere.
Well, because guns in the UK
are hard to come
by. Really hard to come by. Like, only the toppest of, like, bad people have them.
So he pulls out a machete. He's like, how about you fucking drop the cash, make yourself scarce, and we keep the phone. And then also out of nowhere, he pushes his duster back. Machine gun.
Yeah, it's like fucking Uzi. He's like, brr. All right, how about that phone? I was going to give you money.
I keep my money now.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny. So gangster movies in the United States are like Bloods versus Crips, and they're murder, violence, right? And they're great. Like movies like, you know, Colors and stuff like that. I love movies like that. But there's something about the polite nature of how gangsters are portrayed, like when they're in Great Britain. Like, he's very, very accommodating to the person he wants the phone up.
Yeah, he's giving him.
He gives him, like, literally every opportunity to not get shot at.
and then he's finally like, all right, here we go.
And you can tell that he didn't want to go that far.
Yeah, he does the eye roll.
Like, for real?
Have a good day.
No, he's not. They pitched a dude out a window. Hey.
That's a good day, bro. He didn't have to chop nobody up.
No, they do chop him up.
Yeah. Will not be manhandled by some junkie cunt.
Yeah, they use the word cunt a lot.
I swear that is his favorite word to use.
So genuinely, this is probably the most fun I've had watching a movie in a while. I love Guy Ritchie movies.
I saw it in the theater like the week before it was leaving, and I was like, God bless, I got to see this. It was so good.
I
immediately told all of you guys about it. I was like, we need to watch this film for the pod.
The first time I watched Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, I was like, I want to watch every movie this guy makes.
For me, it was Snatch. It was the first film, which is even better, I think.
Which is a better movie. I think so, too. My favorite thing about Guy Ritchie movies is that he is very and this is super dumb, but he is very straightforward about how marijuana, while illegal, is harmless.
Yeah.
Like, in almost all of his movies, most of the gangsters are just trying to, like, hustle weed.
Yeah.
And, like, the guys that, you know, sell hard drugs in the movies are looked down upon. Like, the Chinese gangsters in this movie are the bad guys.
Yeah, they're shitholes.
And the only reason they're the bad guys is because they sell heroin. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's a cool idea to me, that there's like an overarching.
Yeah, like, fuck, like, you.
Yeah, like, like, demographics of
hierarchy. Yeah.
Like, what kind of bad guy is a bad guy versus what kind of bad guy is he's just a geezer, as they say.
Yeah, like, that's why you could put a pedophile next to the Unabomber, and the Unabomber's probably not going to get fucked with.
Exactly.
There is a hierarchy in crime, apparently.
What is
he? Have 4 bones.
He's all, but the one under the couch.
The one under the couch?
Because that's the one I want. Oh,
shit. Idiot.
Oh. So, what else do you like about this movie, Tim, since no one else watched it?
Probably the, yeah, that, mostly the dialogue just over the top between the reporter and Mickey's henchman.
Yeah.
Their chemistry is fucking amazing.
It is.
Like, I warned you.
The reporter's, like, flirty with him.
Yeah.
He's like, it's clearly not wanted.
Yeah.
And he just goes for it the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fletcher. I mean, I could come with you. No.
Maybe I could just, you know, hang out in the room and jerk off in the corner while you sleep. And he's like, fuck it, what? No, man. the fuck out of here.
My other favorite part about Fletcher is he has all this investigative reporting that, like, literally blows open like a giant drug cartel.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a screenplay.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to make a movie out of this. If I don't make money from them, I'm making a movie. So I'm excited to see what else Guy Ritchie does, because if this is moderately successful, they'll give him money to make another movie.
Oh, for sure. He makes such good movies.
I could watch British gangster movies all day.
For sure.
Easy.
I mean, Snatch is amazing. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is amazing. The thing about his movies is that they're so highly quotable, because he writes so many great British style one-liners.
And they're funny, and they rhyme.
Yeah.
I love the idea that, like, Cockney's slang is rhyming everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's when weird. They're talking about how they'll have to double the price so everything's double bubble.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, we don't have anything cool like that.
No.
And if we talk like that, it sounds stupid because...
Gay.
Yeah. Yeah, because gay.
That's...
Have you
stupid shit?
Have you watched like Bronson or The Craze?
I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't.
I've watched a lot of. There was a minute there where I was watching a lot of British gangster movies, like Green Street Hooligans and The Craze and Bronson and
Peaky.
See, I haven't watched any of Peaky Blinders, but I really think I need to. You know this.
That is a fantastic show. But what's funny to me is that how that comedy also kind of leaks its way into Letterkenny as a Canadian show. Like, it's just the style of comedy that you just don't see in the United States.
It's just so dialogue focused. You know who else writes that way is Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that's the only person I can think of.
Quentin Tarantino, too, does just super dialogue focused music.
Yeah.
Music. Movies. So.
You fall asleep?
He is.
Wake up.
Did you have an edible before you came over?
Not my fault.
No, I just haven't talked about this, or I'm just not interacting at all.
Irishman's pretty cool too, I guess. So,
Doyle, talk to us about The Irishman.
It's a good movie. Has nothing to do with anything about this.
Well, no. Now I want to know. I mean, just because you watched the wrong movie doesn't mean you shouldn't tell us about it.
Honestly, I was like half paying attention to The Irishman too. I wasn't like that into it. I thought it was like a bad choice by Tim. Thanks, other buddy. Which is funny because other people like loved The Irishman, but I just like wasn't into it. I was like playing video games. I was like, this is boring.
So
it's the reason why I haven't watched it.
So
Tim doesn't want to watch this film.
So that's like a 3-hour
bore fest.
Martin Scorsese movie?
Yeah,
I think it is.
And
yeah.
It stars like Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
I mean, it's like a super well acted movie. That's like, I mean, if I was in the right mood, I'd probably like it. But I was in the, like, I got home from work. I don't really want to watch this, but Tim chose it to watch. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have liked The Gentleman a lot better in that state of mind.
I know. I remember I started paying attention to it for like 15, 20 minutes.
So new plan. We watch The Irishman and he watches The Gentleman.
We talk about it next episode.
Regroup.
I got about 20 minutes into it and I was like, this is boring. So I started playing Arena. And I was just not really paying much attention after that.
I love it. You're just like, fuck, Tim.
Yeah, it's like, Tim, your movies are all boring. It's slow.
It's the Outlander all over again.
Did you just fart?
No, I did not, actually.
It's probably your dog.
You? No. I hate all the animals. It's probably one of your, it's probably Corpse Dog. I don't even
know where he is. So thumbs up for Guy Ritchie, gentlemen?
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, Guy Ritchie typically makes good movies, yeah.
Thumbs up.
You should watch this. Right, I give this.
I will watch the right one.
I give this 9.75 out of 10. Kuntz.
Kuntz. I agree.
You cunt. Now take us out.
All right.
Yeah, you cunt.
I'm still eating right here.
Yeah, you are.
That said, I've been Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
Be sure to check us out, www.totlb.com. Support us at patreon.com/TOTLB and give us a call at 970-573-6148. Leave us a message. Tell us what you thought of The Gentleman or fucking Guy Ritchie movies in general. And if you don't,
or the Irishman,
you're a cunt. You're a cunt. Or tell us about The Irishman if for some bizarre reason you watched absolutely wrong fucking movie.
I like The Irishman. I'm sure it's all right movie. But
let us know how dumb Doyle is.
There's a lot of men movies out right now, like The Huntsman, The Irishman, Gentleman.
Why'd you keep smoking that weed?
X-Men. I didn't smoke any weed.
X-Men. Men on Men. Right. Volume 27.
We're Men in Black. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.